Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us today as we spend time around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need.
To welcome you once again to the Let the Bible Speak broadcast, and we do thank you for joining with us, and we trust that the Lord will bless us as we gather once again around His precious Word. It is a joy for me to be able to open up the Scriptures and to share God's Word with you, but we're conscious that we need the Lord's help, so let us unite together in a word of prayer and ask the Lord for His blessing as we gather together. Our Heavenly Father and our gracious God, we do praise Thee that we can enter into Thy holy presence together. And we thank Thee for the promise of Thy Word, that when we draw nigh unto Thee, Thou wilt draw nigh unto us. And we thank Thee, our Father, for Thy loving kindness. We do praise Thee for Thy tender mercy. And we want to testify of Thy great faithfulness towards us. And Lord, we thank Thee that we can open up the Scriptures together. We thank Thee that we have Thy Word, a Word, O God, that is able to make us wise unto salvation. And we pray that Thou would speak to our hearts tonight. Give help, O God, as I would seek to minister, and even to those that have tuned in. We pray that Thou would bless them as they would listen to the Word this evening. So Lord, we're looking to Thee We're conscious that we cannot lean upon our own strength. We cannot trust in our own resources. But we ask our Father for the infilling of Thy Spirit, and that Thy name would be glorified as a result of our coming together. Do hear and answer our prayer. We offer it in the Saviour's great name. Amen. I'm going to read the Word of God together, and I'm reading from the book of Acts and the chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, and we're breaking into the chapter at the verse 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." Amen. May the Lord add his own blessing to this reading from his own precious and infallible word. We're going to have the second item of praise in the broadcast, and it's that hymn that brings us to hear again the old story. Tell me the old, old story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love.
Thank you.
As we gather together once again around God's Word, I would like to take my text this evening as Acts chapter 16 and the verse 31. And there we read those words, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." And here we have before us the promise of salvation. And that's what I want us to consider together. Acts chapter 16 is actually a chapter with three notable conversions. The first of them there at Philippi was a lady by the name of Lydia. And as God's people were gathering by the riverside at Philippi, Lydia joined with them. And it tells us in Acts chapter 16 and the verse 14 about Lydia, whose heart the Lord opened. The Lord opened up her heart to receive the Word of God. The Lord opened up her heart to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as her own and personal Savior. And Lydia was gloriously converted to Christ. Then there was a second conversion in Acts chapter 16. And it was a young damsel. A young damsel who was possessed with a spirit of divination. And Paul and Silas, as they were making their way to a time of prayer, they came across this young damsel and they were able to deliver her from the possession of that evil spirit. It did cause something of an uproar, and that actually brought Paul and Silas into contact with the one who became the third conversion in this chapter, and that was the Philippian jailer. And we have been reading about him in this portion of Scripture. But Paul and Silas were apprehended by the authorities. They were beaten and they were put into the charge of this particular jailer at Philippi. And he was cruel in his treatment of the Lord's servants. And it tells us here that as they came in verse 24, who having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. Can you imagine that night whenever these prisoners were being brought in? The existing prisoners there in the jail, they will hear the commotion. Here's the arrival of these new prisoners, and they can hear them being thrust into the cell, being cast into the stocks, and the cell door banging closed and being locked. They realize there are new inmates in the prison at Philippi. But you know, in the stillness and the quietness of the midnight hour, there's another sound could be heard in that prison. And it was the sound of Paul and Silas, their voices calling upon the Lord in prayer. Their voices ringing out in song. They were singing praises unto the Lord at the very midnight hour. And there at the end of verse 25, it tells us that the prisoners heard them. The prisoners heard them. What a witness, what a testimony that was in the prison at Philippi. As there, although they would have been sore and bleeding and wounded, yet they were praising the Lord. And the prisoners heard them. But you know, that wasn't the last sound. In fact, there was another sound, and it was a much louder sound this time. The place begins to shake. There's a great rumble, and the earthquake now comes and strikes the prison. And as the prison is shaken, the very prison doors, the cells are opened up, and they're loosed from their bands, and the jailer awakes out of his sleep. And he fears, seeing the prison doors open, that the prisoners under his charge have all escaped. And he takes out his sword and he's ready to take his own life. And Paul cries out with a loud voice. And he said to the despairing jailer, "Do thyself no harm, for we're all here." He called for a light and he sprang in and he brought Paul and Silas out and he said to them, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" What a question. The greatest question that a soul could ever ask, what must I do to be saved? Depending upon who you ask, you may get a variation of answers to that question. Some you might ask, what must I do to be saved? They would say to you, just live a good life. Just do the best you can. Just try to be a good person. Just try to be law-abiding. Be an upstanding member in your community. Maybe you'd ask others and they would say, well, you would need to go to church. And if you faithfully attend church, then you'll be saved. And you could ask others and they would say, well, you would need to receive the sacraments of the church if you're ever going to be saved, if you're ever going to get to heaven. And so it's so important to this vital question that you would get the right answer. What must I do to be saved? Well, Paul and Silas were able to answer together with the words of our text, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. They're the words that I want us just to dwell upon together for a few moments. They're speaking to us about the promise of salvation. And firstly, I want you to see here the simplicity of salvation. The simplicity. Listen to the words, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are just two things there that we can highlight by way of the simplicity of God's so great salvation. And the first thing is believe. That's faith. Faith. And the second thing is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the person of Christ. And so it's faith, and it's faith alone. And it's Christ, and it's Christ alone. There you have the simplicity of salvation. It is not faith and good works. It is not faith and prayers. It is not faith and penance. It is just simply faith, and faith alone. Believe. And when it says believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, it's not to believe in the church. It's not to believe on the preacher. It's not to believe in rituals or ceremonies or sacraments. It's not to believe in the saints. It's not to believe in self. It's not even to believe about the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, you could believe many things about the Lord Jesus Christ and not be saved. You could believe that he is the Son of God. You could believe that he is the Creator. You could believe that he's the Redeemer. You could believe he's the only Mediator and the only Savior. James in his little epistle tells us the devils also believe and tremble. You can believe all about the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's a different thing to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's speaking to us about faith, a personal saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a believing in him as the only means and the only way of salvation. It is Christ, and it is Christ alone. The atoning work that he accomplished there as he hung upon that center tree. He paid the price for our salvation with the pouring out of his precious blood in love. And through the great work of Christ on Calvary, you can be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the simplicity of the gospel. And I wouldn't want to expound those words any further, lest I would take away from the simplicity of the gospel. So I say to you as you listen, do not go past this truth in relation to the promise of God's salvation. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's faith alone. In Christ alone, the simplicity of salvation. But I want you to notice with me, secondly here, the certainty of salvation. Verse 31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Thou shalt. Do you see how certain this is? Do you see how the words here form a very definite promise? There are no words here with any ambiguity. And it's not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and maybe you'll be saved. Or believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and perhaps you'll be saved, or you can hope for the best that you're saved. No, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. There's no room there for speculation. There's no room there for presumption. It is saying to us from the Word of God that the soul that exercises faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and trusts in Him alone for salvation is surely, absolutely, and eternally saved. That's the certainty. We can have that blessed assurance, and the basis of that assurance is in the Word of God. That's the authority that we have. Take the very words of the Saviour Himself in John chapter 10 and the verse 28. And He said of His people, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man be able to pluck them out of my hand. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. You know this jailer, this Philippian jailer? That's exactly what he did. He came to that personal saving faith in Christ. Oh, when you think but just a few moments before, there he was in the darkness. And there was this cruel and callous man who had no thought for God. He was sleeping while he had locked up the prisoners. Then with the earthquake, he was in danger, and through that he was despairing. But when he got this wonderful message, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, he came to that saving faith in Christ. He came from a position of hopelessness to being a soul on his way to heaven. Not only did he believe, but the promise was extended to his house as well. And the message was proclaimed to his house as well. It says in verse 32, and they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And it seems that one by one there within his household, they came to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. What a blessing. Household salvation. The simplicity of salvation, the certainty of salvation. But just as we close, I want you to think about the necessity of salvation. Believe. That came by way of a command from the lips of Paul and Silas. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And so there's that absolute necessity that is here. When Paul and Silas gave this answer to the Philippian jailer, it was really an urgent call to him to exercise faith in Christ. They were calling out to him. And oh, he accepted that call. He accepted that invitation. And he came to be saved. And that's the need tonight. That's the need of your soul. If you're not saved, that's a necessity. The Apostle Peter in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, he pointed souls to the Saviour. And he said of Jesus, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. Though if you have never come, if you have never come to personal saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I invite you on the authority of God's word to come now. And oh, to take that step of faith. Maybe you're halting between two opinions. Maybe there's a battle going on within your heart. Oh, tonight, take that step. Step out on the promise. Get under the cleansing blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and know tonight with certainty that you have been gloriously saved and that you're on your way to heaven and to home. Thank you for listening. We trust the Lord will bless His word to each of our hearts. Let's unite together in prayer. Our gracious God and our loving Heavenly Father, I do thank Thee for the privilege of being able to preach Thy word, and we ask that Thou wouldst take that which has been of Thyself, and even our Father, that which has gone forth in man's weakness, and grant that it would be applied by the power of God the Holy Spirit, and it would be our prayerful desire that as a result of this effort in the gospel, that sinners would be converted, that the Lord Jesus Christ would be glorified, and Thou wouldst put the seal and stamp of heaven's approval even upon Thy precious word, as other souls would close in with Thine offer of mercy. And now unto Him who alone is able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Saviour, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Thank you for spending some time with us today around the Word of God. For further information, visit our website at ltbs.tv. We look forward to joining with you next time as we seek to let the Bible speak once again.